Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we glorify you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 6 through 11. And I'm excited about it. How many so excited about it? Praise God. Praise God. And so with that said, let's get our screen ready right up here. And let me go there. Here we go. And there it is. Okay. I've entitled this evening's message, "We Are Now the People of God." We are now the people of God. You see, this scene has taken place. Paul the Apostle, who has journeyed throughout Minor Asia, or we call it Asia Minor, and he was called to many far foreign places. The anointing of God was upon him, but he always had to confront opposition. The enemy would always follow him wherever he went. For what? To try to prevent the gospel from moving forward. So I'm here to let us know that once we have become saved and we are now the people of God, God will put a supernatural hedge around you. He will put a shield and a buckler around you. The Bible says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against those who are his. And we're going to see in these passages of Scripture this evening, as we do an expository teaching, how we go line by line, precept upon precept, and we will break it down for you so that you could have a clear understanding what Peter wrote 2,000 years ago and how it pertains to us today. Praise God. Praise God. So let's go there, and we will go turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 10. And here we go. Starting with verse 6. "Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.'" Verse 7. "Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." Praise God. Praise God. Look at verse 8. "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, they stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed." Verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are." Look at this. "Are now the people of God." And this is where I got my topic, saints of God. "Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Praise God. Isn't that so blessed to know that, saints? Hallelujah. So let's break this down. Let's go to verse 6. And it reads, "Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.'" Praise God. How many are so blessed? How many are so blessed to know that, saints of God? My goodness. To know that not only did God elected his son to die for us, but he elected you and I. Praise God. You see, saints, to support his words, and 2 Peter, he quoted from the Scripture, citing several Old Testament passages, many others. And I want to show you one right here in Isaiah 28:16. Let's go there. Isaiah 28:16. This was Peter quoting these Scriptures because they didn't have the New Testament yet written. And so it was being written through all the apostles. Did you know one thing? The reason why Jesus had an issue with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees is because it was the scribes who had their opportunity to write about Jesus. But they were the opposition to the Lord. So it was his disciples, it was his apostles that wrote the New Testament scripture. Praise God. And these weren't well-known authors. They are anointed by God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would guide their hands and fill their hearts and minds of the things of heaven. And then they would write them down. But the scribes had their chance and they blew it. And this is why Jesus, he told them all, if you would have known my Father, you would have known me. And they hated that. And so what did he say? He goes, you don't know me, you don't understand me, because you are of your father, the devil. Wow. Help us, Jesus. Help us, God. And I'll explain that a little later in this message. But look at what it says in Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation. I tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Did you catch that, saints? Did you catch that? So even in the Old Testament, it was prophesied about a cornerstone. And who was the cornerstone? The Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? Huh? Are you blessed to know that, saints? Praise God. You see, God promised, saints of God, God promised to establish a cornerstone. And the first stone laid in a building, making the foundation stable, the walls and plumb, and it makes it square. Oh, that's right. Look at another verse I found right here. Look at this. It's found in Romans 9:33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whoever believes on him will not be what? Put to shame. Wow, saints. This is incredible. This is incredible. Why? Because this is the stone that would be laid in Jerusalem, meant not only that Christ lived and lived in Jerusalem. No, God sent him there, but also that this new building, the Christian church and the new covenant with Christ as the cornerstone, would actually replace the old building, the old Jerusalem temple and the old covenant. Praise God. You see, saints, this cornerstone is a person, and anyone who believes in him will what? Never be disappointed. My friends at home that are listening right now, has Jesus disappointed you? The day you got saved, God filled you with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm telling you, my friends, God, hallelujah, hallelujah, is our all in all. How many believe that he's your all in all? How many believe that when he found you, for some of you, we were tore up from the floor up. Come on. Many of us he found in the gutter. Many of us he went through the highways and byways, but yet he found us. Can I get an amen? And he didn't allow us to remain the same. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that when we encountered the living God, he changed us from the inside out. He gave us a mind to be saved. He gave us a heart to repent. My goodness, God. God did the miraculous in our lives. And we must always proclaim. We must always testify. We must always tell people about the love of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God. Look at another verse I found in Romans right up here. In Romans 10:11. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not what? Be put to shame. My question is this. Are you ashamed to share the gospel? God will give you divine appointments. God will place people in your path. And it's up to you now, with the gifts that he's given you, the tools that he's given you, the empowerment from the Holy Spirit, the boldness that comes from the anointing. Are you sharing your faith? Are you testifying? Are you laying hands on the sick in faith, believing that they will recover? You see, that's what God now expects of you and I, to be children of the Most High God. Praise God. You see, saints, Christians will sometimes face disappointment in our lives. But their trust in God is never misplaced. God will not let them down. Can I get an amen? These words greatly comforted many of the believers through persecution. And let me ask you this. Since you have believed, since you've been walking with God, has persecution knocked on your door? For me, yes. Many times. I would be here telling you a bunch of stories on how I got persecuted for the cause of Christ. But listen, let me just say this. Shake it off. Dust it off. Dust it from your feet and move on. Don't get mad. Don't get upset. Don't ridicule. Don't get back in their grill. You tell them God loves you and you move on. Do not engage, because the devil wants you to engage so that you would lose your testimony. Can I get amen? And so, saints, as a building rests on its cornerstone, so believers rest on Christ, and we can safely put our confidence in Christ. Why? Because he will certainly give to us the eternal life that he promises. How many of you are so blessed to know that he's given you eternal life? That's right. That means we will never die spiritually. Yes, this flesh may go back to the dust, but guess what? God, in his glory and his majesty, and his love and mercy and grace toward you and I, he has a new body prepared for us, a one that will never die, never grow old. Praise God. How many of you at home right now are thankful that God is taking care of us? Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's go back now to 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's look at verse 7. And it reads, therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Wow. Wow. And we're going to see in this study that many, many saints of God have rejected this chief cornerstone. Praise God. They rejected him. And saints, to you who believe, address the Christians to whom Peter wrote, as well as Christians today. Jesus Christ is indeed precious, meaning highly valued and highly esteemed. Praise God. And not only is Christ precious to the Father, he is also precious to those who follow him. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that we are blessed to follow him? Look what I found in 2 Corinthians. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Look at this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us, say that with me at home, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Praise God. Look at this. Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. What? Oh my gosh. That's God saying, listen, man's wisdom is but a peanut brain to Almighty God. God's mind is so vast. If you can look through the Hubble telescope and see galaxy after galaxy after galaxy, which are trillions and trillions and trillions of light years away, the mind of God surpasses that. And here we are, these little pea brains here on this planet, thinking we got all that, we know all that, and we don't want to obey the God that created us. Wow. That's something else, isn't it? And so, saints, while this is true, most scholars take issue with this translation of the Greek in the text of it, saying that this is unlikely the rendering of the Greek. They prefer that this phrase be translated, therefore, the honor for preciousness is to you, the believers, or this honor belongs to you who believe. Saints, it is also contrast the preciousness of believers and the honor that they will receive. Did you know God's going to have honor? Bible says that when he comes and we see him face to face, he's bringing his treasure for us, the gifts that he has, that we have done for him in this life. He's gonna bring them and lay them at our feet. He's going to crown us with his glory. And I've heard it said best, we're going to take those crowns and we're going to slide them at his feet and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Praise God. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that, you know what, I'm not looking for anything other than to live with him forever. That's right. That's right. Just to get in up to a place that will never decease. A place with the ultimate joy, with the light of God and the fellowship with all the apostles and all the prophets of old. We will be there with them, fellowshipping in glory. How many of you want that? I do. I do. And this is why God said, set your mind above and not things on the earth. Praise God. Praise God. We serve a mighty God. How many believe we serve a mighty God? Well, my friends, while believers receive preciousness and honor from God, unbelievers face a different result. They do not regard the stone. They rejected the chief cornerstone. And as precious and chosen, instead they reject him. Unbelievers reject him. Jesus referred to these words when he spoke of being rejected by his own people. Wow. Wow. Look, I got some scripture to prove this. Let's go to Matthew 21:42. Look at this. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Wow, wow. Listen, aren't you so blessed that when Jesus came to us, we didn't reject him? Wow. Look what it says in Luke 20. In Luke 20, 17 through 19. Then he looked at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Look at verse 18. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken. But on whomever it falls, it will be ground to powder. What? Listen, you and I that are saved by grace through faith, and it was God's mercy, we fell on the rock. But the unbelievers, the rock is going to fall on them. And as you can see in Jesus' red writing right there, they will be turned into powder. Wow. Wow. Look at this. And the chief priests and the scribes that very hour sought to lay hands on him. Oh, they didn't like that. But they feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken this parable against them. You see, these scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees, all they wanted to do was kill Jesus. All they wanted to do was get rid of him. Why? Because the truth was ringing in their ears, and they didn't want to hear truth. How many of you know friends and family members at home, co-workers, they don't want to hear truth? Yeah, I'm glad you found God. That was good for you. Just don't bring that to me. Well, they fall in that category. Because one day, if they don't repent, the rock will fall on them and they will be turned to powder. Meaning, what does that mean? That means they will be obliterated from this earth. Wow. This is all true. And a lot of this whole world has ignored God. I think there's 8 billion people now in the world. And yet, only a handful have taken heed. And that's but the grace of God. You see, saints, Peter used builders to refer to all people across the ages who tossed Christ aside like an unwanted stone, choosing to build the foundations of their lives on something else. But however, saints, they were mistaken to reject him, because God took the rejected stone and made it the cornerstone of the church. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that Jesus is our cornerstone? We have a great foundation. The apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, praise God, praise God. The bishops, all them, all fivefold ministry works together in unison, even in the day that we live in, praise God, praise God. And so we need to walk with sincerity. We need to walk with humility. We need to walk knowing where we came from and understand where we're going now. we're going to be with the Lord forevermore. Praise God. So let's move on now to verse 8 in 1 Peter chapter 2. And it says, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, they stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they were also, what? Appointed. Appointed. Did you catch that? Did you catch that, saints? To which they were also appointed. Meaning, he was talking to these Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes. And they were the ones that God wanted to use to proclaim the King of Kings. The scribes were to have written down the miracles and what God did in the lives of the people back then. But no, they wanted to kill him. They hated him. They got filled with rage, thinking he was a blasphemer. So it was evident. If they would have truly known God the Father up in heaven, they would have known Christ. But because they didn't know God, they didn't have a relationship with the living God, they thought he was just another imposter, another false Christ. Wow. Well, aren't you so blessed? When Jesus came knocking at our door, he gave us the mind to be saved, the heart to repent, and we surrendered. And let me just say this, the miraculous took place. And now we are born again. We are new creatures in Christ. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now God has renewed our mind. He has strengthened our heart. He has given us now the mind of Christ to put on. And we are to clothe ourselves with righteousness. We are to continue to walk forward and never retreat, never return, never turn back. You see, let me just say this right now. When the Apostle Paul illustrated in the book of Ephesians regarding the full armor of God, God gave him a picture of a Roman soldier. And why did he give him a picture of a Roman soldier? Because number one, a Roman soldier had a helmet, and God says that is the helmet of salvation. Then he clothed him with a breastplate, which is now a breastplate of righteousness, and then gave him a shield of faith to believe God. And then God gave him a sword, which is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And then he said, I'm going to gird your loins with truth. And then lastly, he said that I'm going to prepare your feet. For you will take the gospel with your precious feet and take it around the world and proclaim. And notice there is no armor on the backside. Why? Because we are now Christian soldiers in this war. We're in the field. And we must move forward. We must never retreat. We must never turn our back, because there is nothing to protect us on the backside. And so, those who have backslidden, those who, for whatever reason, grow cold in their faith and no longer, they are open prey to the enemy, because the backside is unprotected. We must keep moving forward. Can I get an amen in the house? Oh, that's right. You see, saints, quoting once again from the prophet Isaiah, Peter further explained that not only there were builders who rejected the stone and humiliated later became the cornerstone. They also had stumbled and fallen over this stone. Oh yeah, let's look at Isaiah right up here. Isaiah, look at this, Isaiah 8:14. He will be a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants. Wow, wow. He was a snare and a trap, saints of God. Why? Because they didn't want to hear truth. And so they were troubled. They were troubled. They were troubled amongst each other. You see, saints, the word stumble can mean tripping and falling, or it can mean taking an offense at or rejecting something or someone. Peter explained that they stumble because they do not listen to God's word or obey it. And this disobedience refers not to the slip-ups but by one who tries to obey. Rather, it means outright rejection of the Word and the Messiah that the Word of God promised, and a rebellious stand toward God. Wow, there, how many of you know people like that today? Some people stumble over Christ today. Why? Because they reject Him or refuse to believe that He is who He claims to be. How many of you at home truly believe that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How many of you believe that He is the Messiah, the soon coming King? How many believe that He's the one that saved us from the guttermost to the uttermost, when He found us through the highways and the byways, and He has renewed us, He has restored us, He has blessed us? Can I get an amen? Praise God. You see, my friends, they have stumbled over the one person who could save them, and they have fallen into God's hands for judgment. Yeah, that's right. Their stumbling and disobedience were planned by God. And what does that mean, saints of God? Some scholars take it that found in Thessalonians and Romans that God, hallelujah, predestined us. How many believe that God chose you? Out of 8 billion people in the world, He came to choose you. He came to choose me. It's mind-boggling if you think about it. But look what it says in the Word of God. Look right up here, and I believe I found it in 1 Thessalonians. Yes, let's go there right now. Look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 through 11, look at this. But let us who are of the day. What does that mean, of the day? That means we are the believers, meaning we have the light. Bible says be light and salt. And so we are of the day, and we are sober. We're not drunk anymore. We're not tore up. You know, we don't smoke bongs and do meth anymore. But let us who are of the day be sober. Look at this. Put it on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Oh, look at verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath. Man, the wrath of God will never be poured out on us, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Verse 10. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. How many of you want to live together with Him? Therefore, frighten one another. Does your word say that? No. Therefore, comfort. Comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Look at this. In Romans, I found this in Romans 9:22. Look at this. What if God, wanting to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with what, look at this, with much long suffering, the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. I'm going to pause right there. What does that mean? That means since the cross, since Jesus died and rose again, for 2,000 years, and go back another 4,000 since Adam and Eve, sinful mankind is always, always, always walking in rebellion to God. And what this says in this scripture is that He was merciful, and that He withheld His wrath to destroy the whole world and start another type of creation. No, but He was long-suffering. He was patient. This is the God that I want to serve. He waited 30 years of my life, and then He came and saved me at the age of 30. He allowed me to walk in the ways of the world and to follow my father, the devil, at the time, because I wasn't born again. When Jesus told His apostles, when He told the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, He said, you are of your father, the devil. What was Jesus saying? That the unbeliever, the unregenerated, is still under the control of the devil. Until we become saved, born again, then we are adopted and we're grafted in by faith. And now we become the sons and daughters of God. He adopted us. So when there's an adoption that takes place, guess what? There is a choice by Him. He chose us. You ever go to the supermarket? You're going through the apples, and there's a rotten one. And it's, you put your thumb in it, and it could go right through the apple. Is that the one you want? No, you set that aside, and you start looking for others. You look for that one perfect one in your eyes. The one will probably taste good and be crunchy and good. And so you pick those. Well, God did the same thing. Out of the billions of people, he went through all humanity and he picked you. And he picked me. And we had nothing to do with it. We're just here now. Say, God, thank you. God, you were gracious and merciful to me. Thank you, God, that you didn't allow me to perish. Thank you that I didn't have to go to a place called hell. And now I'm heaven bound and hell to shun. My goodness, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your awesome power and what you're doing. Let's go back to the word right here. Look at this. Endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. If you're at home and you're watching this with someone, turn to that person and say, we are vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand in glory. You see that? He prepared it. He prepared you and I. He set us apart. Aren't you so blessed? We didn't have a clue. I got saved at 30. I know some people got saved earlier than that or later than that. Come on, when you were in your stupor, when you were deep in your sin, did you have a clue that God had saved you for eternal glory? Come on. I would have said, what are you smoking now? But God did it. Because what God says in his word, you need to take it to the bank. You got to believe that's true, what he's saying. Can I get an amen? You see, saints, this means that some are predestined to believe unto salvation, and others are predestined to disbelief unto damnation. Wow. Wow. And it would be more natural here to take Peter's point, saints of God, to be that God that has predestined punishment for those who disbelieve, so that only the consequence of disbelief is ordained. Wow. So you're going to have some theological debates on that. All I know is this. All my first 30 years of life, I didn't know who God was. I didn't care about knowing who God was. My mind was deep in sin, doing my wild thing, until the day he interrupted my life, gave me a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. He drew me to the cross. He opened up my eyes so I can see the cross. And I ran to the cross and I embraced the cross. Praise God. How many so blessed to know that that's what God did for you? Oh, that's right. You see, my friends, the fact of predestination does not imply that all our choices are predetermined, because God is not limited by time as we are. He sees past, present, and future at the same time. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. You see, saints, sometimes parents know how their children will behave before the fact. Why? Because they already see their pattern as they were being raised up. And we don't conclude, saints of God, from these parents' foreknowledge that they made their children act that way. No. Mm-mm. You can't blame that on them. You see, God's foreknowledge, insofar as we can understand it, saints, means that God knows who will accept the offer of salvation and who will reject it. How many of you have shared the gospel with friends, family members? And it's like it goes in one ear, not the other. Yeah, cool. You know, I'm glad you found God. That was good for you. And yet, they don't even budge. Listen, we're not to judge them. We are to plant and water and let God give the increase. You never know, that person may give his heart to Christ 3 years later. We want to see them right there in front of us get saved. God, you can't put God in a box. You never know when he'll get saved, 4 years, 5 years later. And then one day, God will allow him to come back into your life. Quick testimony. When the custodian at Horizon Christian Fellowship 34 years ago led me to God, I exchanged phone numbers with him, never saw him again. And I used to cry out to God, say, God, if I never see that man who led me to God, who led me to you, would you show him to me in heaven? I would pray that. because I wanted to see who he was. So attending Mission Valley, we went on many wonderful Israel trips, and we met a lot of people. And you know, there was a couple that stood out, John and Renee Lotta, that were friends of ours. We went to Israel and everything, and it was wonderful. You know, there was other people like Betty and Dennis Breedlove, and just people that Yolanda and I, we fell in love with their character. They were wonderful. We were at the Hotel Cinema Theater, Fashion Valley. Pastor Leo asked three people to come up and share their testimony, and I was one of them. So I came up and started sharing my testimony. The security guards came in because they wanted to hear the testimonies, and I shared my testimony that a custodian, and I'm just paraphrasing, a custodian led me to the Lord at Horizon, and it was so supernatural. And I shared that, you know, and that was it. Came home, the phone was ringing, and on the ID caller it said Renee Lotta. And so I knew why she was calling, because we all went to Israel, and my house was designated to have the reunion party at my house. So I picked it up and I said, "Hey, sister, how you doing?" And it wasn't Renee. It was John, her husband. Oh, sorry, Brother John. He goes, "Fiend, when I heard you share your testimony," he goes, "I wanted to run on the stage and tackle you." I go, "Wow. Did that impact you that bad?" He goes, "You don't understand. I was the custodian that led you to the Lord. It was a moment that I could not comprehend. I almost fell off my chair, and I was weeping with him. I used to say, 'John, I never recognized you. We went to Israel. We you're our friends.'" And God had to have brought that memory back when I shared, because I never shared that testimony with you. He goes, "But I remember." And this is what he said, because you all heard my testimony on my side of it. But what he said, I never heard his side, because I didn't know who's the guy, who's the custodian that led me to the Lord. Never saw him again. And I'm talking about 12 years later. And he said, "When I was leading you to God, I saw you lift in the air a good 5 inches, like you were floating." He goes, "That's why my eyes got so big." He goes, "I couldn't explain it." He goes, "The power of God was so surreal." I said, wow, John. Little did I know that God had a call on my life. Little did I know that he has given me his power, his grace, his mercy to continue. That supernatural event that day has propelled me all these years to love him, to exalt him, to magnify him, to let other people know that what he's done for me, he can do for you. And so, saints, to explain foreknowledge and predestination in any way that implies that every action and choice we make has been not only pre-known, but even predestined. And it seems to contradict those, a lot of scriptures, but that declare that our choices are real. Can I get amen? When he asked me, "Do you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ?" I had a choice right then and there to say yes or no. But here's the thing. God already knew I was going to say yes, because he already saw the plan. He already saw that years down the road that you were going to pastor a church. And if someone would have told me right then and there, "You're going to pastor a church," I would have said, "What are you smoking?" But God did it. And God's doing something wonderful in your life as well. And so, my friends, you and I, must take heed. And those who choose to disobey will stumble and fall. Oh, that's right. We're coming in for a close. Let's look at verse 9 right here. "But you are," say that with me at home, "but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and his own special people, that you might proclaim," look at this, "the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his" what? "Marvelous light." Aren't you so blessed, saints of God, to know that God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? Wow. Wow, you need to rejoice. Come on, give God a shout of praise at home. Come on, somebody got to praise him for that. You see, saints, this verse contrasts the privilege and the destiny of believers. That with unbelievers, believers are chosen a people that is what? Distinct group from the rest of the world, unified by the Holy Spirit. It was God that ordained this. It was God that predestined us. It is God now that has gifted us, that has blessed us, that has anointed us. He has approved us. Hallelujah. Do you have your AAA card? Are you appointed? Are you approved? Praise God. Praise God. I know I am. By the grace of God only. By the grace of God. Hallelujah. It's God who unifies us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And don't miss out on Sunday, because I'm going to be preaching on the Holy Spirit. And saints, just as the nation of Israel had been God's chosen people, and we could see that clearly in the Old Testament, Christians have become God's special people today. And not by physical birth into a certain race, but by the spiritual rebirth into God's family through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, believers also are a kingdom of priests, God's holy nation. How many are so blessed to know that? How many are so blessed to know that? Well, I got some scripture back here that God gave to Moses. Look at this. And it pertains to us. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Why is Peter quoting that? Because he's quoting it for us now. These are the words of which you will speak to the children of what? Of Israel. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, being part of a priesthood is a high honor for believers. Christians speak of the priesthood of all believers. In the Old Testament times, people did not approach God directly. The high priest only could go directly to God. Instead, a priest would act as an intermediary between God and sinful man, between God and sinful human beings. But with Christ's victory on the cross, that pattern changed. Now believers can come directly into the God's presence without fear. How many are so blessed to know that? Oh, that's right. Well, look what the book of Hebrews says right up here. In Hebrews 4:16, let us, say that with me at home, let us therefore come what? Boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What does that say to us? That means we don't have to go to a high priest. We can go now to God directly, praise God, because we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God lives in us. Hallelujah. We take our temples throughout this whole world, wherever we go, and God is with us. How many believe that? And also, saints, they have been given the responsibility of bringing others to him. How many of you love to bring people to church, love to share the gospel, love to share what God has done? Well, look what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians right over. Let's go here. Look at that. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of what? Reconciliation. Look at this. In verse 20 and 21. Now, then, we are the ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's what we're supposed to do. Repent, turn to God, and be reconciled back to God. Look at this, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that beautiful? What God is doing in our life, he's causing us to be the unifiers. He's using you. He's using me to plant and to water. And then watch them come into the saving knowledge. You see, saints, united with Christ as members of his body, believers like you and I, we joined in his priestly work of reconciling God and people together as a holy nation. It refers to Christians as people who are distinct from all the others because of their devotion to God. Praise God. You see, my friends, believers are God's very own possession. Similar language is found in Exodus and Malachi. Oh, that's right. That's right. Peter understood that he didn't have the New Testament scriptures at that point. It was being written as we're reading. But he had the Old Testament. And oh, look at this in Exodus. In Exodus. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, says God. Look at this next verse in Malachi. Look at what Malachi 3:17 says. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Put your name right there. That's us. We're jewels to God. Praise God. God's people are those who are faithful to him. Thus, this refers to us Christians. God's special people are to show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light, saints of God. Christians were redeemed with a special purpose to glorify and praise the one who has called them out of the darkness and out of sin and out of the hostile surroundings into the eternal light of glory. And so we look at our last scripture right here found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I need you, my friends at home, to take this personal. Take it to heart. Understand what God is saying in this verse of scripture. What he is saying is that at one time in our life, we was toe up from the flow up. We didn't know God. We were not the people of God in our mind. But God already knew the plan for your life. He was long-suffering, allowing us to go through the setup of the devil. He allowed us. But here's the one unique thing that God did for us. He didn't allow us to die. That's right. How many people do you know that died in their sin? How many people do you know that died with drugs and overdose? How many people do you know that got incarcerated, got killed in prison? How many people do you know that got diseases or got killed in a car wreck or whatever, and they are no longer walking on this earth? And you and I who have testimonies, what we used to live like, and yet God spared us, and he kept us, and he's still keeping us today. So read that verse of scripture again. Who once were not a people, but are what? Are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy by the living God. God has had mercy on us. We should have perished. We deserve death. Saints, this verse is an adaptation of Hosea. Hosea, God's prophet, was describing God's rejection of Israel, followed by future restoration. And look what it says in Hosea. Let's go there right now. Look at this. It says right here in Hosea 1, 9 through 10. Then God said, call his name Lo Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. He's talking about those who have rebelled and rejected him. Look at this. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. Wow. Does that contradict itself? No. This is a picture of us when we were out in the world. And then God saved us right there where we are living. I got saved. I was living in sin in the same house. I got saved. My goodness. Look what he says in Hosea 2:23. Look at this. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. Come on, somebody got to give a shout of praise at home. Come on, somebody got to praise him. Because we were not once a people, and now we are the people of God. We are now the people of the Most High God. Hallelujah. God has blessed you. He has anointed you. Hallelujah. He has lifted you up. He has pulled you out of the miry clay. Hallelujah. I like what Brother Felipe said one time. He found us in a dumpster can. Hallelujah. Me, I was probably next to a rotten piece of watermelon or a rotten tortilla when he was going through the dumpster looking for me. Hallelujah. And that's where he found us. He found us on the heap of life. And yet, God had a mighty plan. God had a mighty plan for you and I. How many believe that? How many believe that he has a plan for you? Praise God. You see, my friends, Paul used these same verses from Hosea and applied them to Gentile believers. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says in Romans. Look at right up here. And we're coming in for a close. As he says always in Hosea. Look how Paul would use the scripture from the Old Testament to write these things down for us in the New Testament. Look at this. And he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. Look at that. Look at that, saints. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Aren't you so blessed that Peter applied these verses to the New Testament church as a whole? Just as Israel had been at one time rejected by God without any hope of forgiveness for their sins, so Christians had been at one time rejected by God without any hope as well. But believers are now the people of God. Can I get an amen? Because they have been chosen by him and received his mercy. And mercy means God's compassionate treatment of us who don't deserve it. You see, God had no obligation to gather a people together to whom he would show mercy. Not one of us deserves his slightest concern. God drawing a people unto himself and lavishing mercy on them gives overwhelming evidence of his great love. Saints of God, this mercy ought to affect the way every believer lives. And Peter will point out in the following chapters as we continue. My friends, this is your opportunity. If you're watching, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to do the miraculous in your life. Listen, I'm going to give you an opportunity. You might be logged in first, second, third time, and maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You probably don't even understand God's sovereignty, his mercy, his love. Well, it's not a coincidence that you're watching and you're listening, because God has a plan for you too. And all you got to do is repent. What does repent mean? Turn your back on sin. Walk away from your sinful life. Turn to the living God. Cry out to him and say, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And when you come to him in humility, you come to him in faith, knowing that he is God and you are not, and that he has created you for such a time as this, that you would give your whole entire life, your soul to him, and watch him do the miraculous in your life. If that's you, pray this prayer by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's watching right now to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the Lord this evening. So bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, somebody give God a shout of praise and glory. Somebody got saved. Listen, down below is our banner, and our website is on there. And if you log into our website, our email, our phone number is there. Listen, we want to give you a Bible. If this is your first time that you've given your heart, or you just want prayer, I don't care if you live in another state, we'll mail you the Bible if you need a Bible. But we want to point you to a church that will teach the unadulterated Word of God, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge, that you too will experience the wonderful things that God does for those that love Him. And so, also, as you can see down below, we are so very thankful. Many of you have supported our ministry from day one, and we are so thankful for your blessings that you pour in at Amazing Grace. As you can see below, donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, it's time to sign off, and I'm thankful to have done an expository teaching in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. We will pick it up next week, starting with verse 11. And once again, just a quick reminder, this Sunday at 10, we're going to have wonderful worship, and then we'll have the spoken word of God. Then we're going to have potluck. We're going to go into the fellowship hall, and people just bring whatever you want. We'll eat together, fellowship together, and then at 1 o'clock, the healing rooms. And so I'm excited. I'm excited for this Sunday. God always has something special and wonderful that He wants to do in our lives. And so, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I'm going to leave you the benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Well, my friends, we love you. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Be blessed, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the praise.